the Lord shall help me, friends, this evening I would ask you to turn with me to the 21st chapter of the Gospel according to John, verse 12. That is the Gospel of John, chapter 21, and verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Friends, I do believe that the 21st chapter of John is really and truly a blessed chapter concerning the Apostle Simon Peter, who was now about to be commissioned by his God. We spoke this morning, my friends, of that dear man who denied his Lord and Master three times, and the Lord turned and looked on Peter, and he went out and he wept very bitterly. Friends, although Peter was a lovable character, although Peter was called by God by the Sea of Galilee, nevertheless, friends, through the deceits of Satan, and remember that Satan had said, the Lord had said unto Peter, Satan, Simon, son of Jonas, Satan hath desired to have thee, to sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. Oh, friends, what a favour this night. If God has prayed for you and I, if you and I are in that intercessory prayer which the Lord made in the 17th chapter of John, you know, friends, that prayer was made for all believers to the end of time. Christ prayeth for his apostles and all believers for the end of time. What a favour this night, friends, amidst all the trials and afflictions of this life, if you and I are included in the Lord's Prayer. And you know, brethren, it is the Lord's Prayer, is the 17th of John. You know, I believe that is the children of God's prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. But the 17th of John is the Lord's Prayer unto his heavenly Father for all those that were given into the hands of Christ before this world began. Friends, isn't it a wonderful prayer? These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. That's it, friends. That's the election of grace. That's the number which no man can number. Ah, friends, the number which were given into the hands of Jesus Christ is a number which no man can number, from every kindred, tribe and tongue, that will one day sing on Mount Zion to him who hath loved us and washed us in his own blood, the honour and glory and majesty for ever and ever and ever. And friends, then we come to the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John. You know, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said unto his dear beloved disciples, After I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And here, my friends, he is wonderfully appearing unto the brethren by the Sea of Galilee. You know, there were many miraculous things done by the Sea of Galilee. Peter was called by the Sea of Galilee. So was his brother Andrew. Philip was called by the Sea of Galilee. Nathaniel was called by the Sea of Galilee. And you know, my friends, we must be called. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ has said many are called, but few are chosen. Now, friends, what does it really mean? It means this, simply. There are many, friends, who make an open profession of religion. There are many, my friends, who follow the Lord for the loaves and the fishes. But, friends, those who follow the Lord because they love the Lord Jesus, they love the person of Jesus, they love the work of Jesus, they love the finished work of the Lamb, these are the ones, friends, who were chosen. These are the ones that will stand with him on Mount Zion. at the end of this earthly dispensation, these are the ones that shall walk with him in love, because they are worthy. They are not worthy in and of themselves. Friends, if you ask each one of them, they're as black as the confines of endless despair. They have many temptations, they have many sins, and friends, many times they are tempted, even beyond degree. Friends, the devil roars in their ears many, many times, and he tries to make them disbelieve that Jesus Christ is their Saviour. But oh, friends, there is one thing this night that will settle that for you and I. When once the love of Christ we feel, the marks of that celestial seal shall never be erased. Brethren, if you have felt the love of Jesus in your heart, whether you have been sitting under the sound of the gospel, whether you have been on the roads of our land, whether you have been in the home, and the Lord has suddenly come and brought you down at the feet of Jesus, that is the love of Christ, friends. You know, Job said this, "The Lord maketh my heart soft." Friends, we cannot make our hearts soft. It's an impossibility. But oh, when God, friends, designs to make our hearts soft. Oh, friends, even this day, I have felt a softening, even after this morning service. Friends, I'd only been in the home 10 minutes, and the phone rang to say that our dear brother Harold was drawing near to his journey's end. Oh, friends, as I went into that hospital ward, my heart was broken. There was a precious jewel, ready to enter into eternal bliss. And friends, I was unable to read 5 verses of the 14th of John. "I go to prepare a place for you." Friends, I could hardly read the verses. God had appeared, you see. God had come into that room and broke my heart at the feet of Jesus. And friends, I was unable to say as I left it, "Farewell, my brother. I do not believe, friends, we will meet even in this life again. But friends, I hope to meet him when I come to my final end." Friends, I believe I have had many wonderful conversations with him, even by the way. Friends, I believe my heart has burned as I have visited that dear man. And friends, now the Lord is taking his earthly tabernacle down. Yes, he is drawing near to that blessed time when he shall enter in to see that glorious man who has loved him with an everlasting love. He's going to see Jesus, who was crucified on yonder sin accursed tree. You know, friends, that 771st day was the means of bringing him to the feet of Jesus many, many years ago. To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. Does it to you and I this night? All earthly good I count but loss, and triumph in my Saviour's cross. And Jesus said unto them, "Come and dine, for all things are now ready." Oh, that we might dine this night off the fat of the Lamb. Oh, that the Lord might kill the cat and fat off as we have gathered in this sanctuary this night. Friends, is it not your desire this night that you might know Jesus and the power of his resurrection, that you might feel safe in his arms, whether it is for life or whether it is for death? You know, friends, with the children of God, it's well with them while life endures, and it's well when they are called to die. My friends, the Jordan of death, it is not, my friends, something mysterious to the children of God. My friends, the Jordan of death is a blessed place for those who have been redeemed by Jesus. Our Jesus took the sting out of death when he went into that mother earth. When he came forth on the resurrection morn, he burst the gates of death. And friends, Jesus Christ has took the sting out of death. When we lay a believer in their final resting place, the grave is a downy bed and softened with his blood. And my friends, they are only asleep in Jesus. They are waiting the resurrection of the dead. And friends, it's a blessed time. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, my friends, you this night I hope you're not courting the Lord Jesus. I hope you're married to him. You know, my friend, when a man and a woman begin to go out together, and friends, they call it the courtship. But friends, sooner or later, they are married. And friends, the husband, he gives unto his beloved wife a ring. And that ring denotes, friends, the love that he has for his beloved wife. You know, friends, I hope that we are married to the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope this night that some of you are not courting the Lord Jesus. Oh, friends, what does he say to those this night who are seeking for the Lord? I am married unto you. I have betrothed thee unto thee forever. What does the Lord do, friends, with the children of God? He puts on the ring of his eternal love, a ring that denotes his unchangeable love. He's put on the finger God's kindness to prove. This love knew no beginning. It knew no end, and Zion shall rear it in praise of her friend. Friends, are you married to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it your desire this night to be married to the Lamb? You know, my friends, the bride of Christ, she is a precious, precious wife unto Jesus. Now, friends, what makes her the bride of Jesus? Why, friends, sinners this night, who have been brought to realize that unless Almighty God has mercy upon them through his well-beloved Son, those are the ones, my friends. And does thy heart for Jesus pine? Does your heart this night pine for Christ? Can you say this night, I thirst, but not as one sign it? You know, my friends, when we were born into this world, we came forth speaking lies and we thirsted for the things of time and sense. We were content with the pleasures of this world. We were content to have our fill in this life. But friends, if there is a time come in your life when Jesus Christ has passed by and taken you out, and you know, friends, God takes one of a city and two of a family. Oh, friends, it's wonderful how the Lord deals with his children. I will take you, one of a city, two of a family, and bring you unto God. And friends, it's because he has loved them with an everlasting love. Now, friend, the 21st of John, after these things, Jesus appeared unto these dear disciples. Who did he appear unto in verse 2? Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and to other of his disciples. Now, friends, look at Peter in verse 3. This is bold Peter, friends. Very impulsive was Peter by nature. You know, friends, he was the most impulsive disciple the Lord had. What did Peter say to them? He said, I go fishing. That's like you and I, friends. We do things in our own strength to our cost. We seldom see the snare before we feel the smart. And Peter said, I go fishing. And friends, he went forth and the disciples went with him. And that night they caught nothing. They toiled all night upon the Sea of Galilee. And remember, brethren, they were professional fishermen. Oh, friends, they were not novices in the sea. That was their trade. They were professional fishermen. But they went forth that night and caught nothing. Have you ever been in that position where you have toiled all night and you have caught nothing? And friends, you have thought, well, I wonder why the Lord has not answered my petitions. You have not been casting your net on the right side of the boat. And you know, friends, the Lord was watching this going on. He was on the seashore and he saw these disciples on the Sea of Galilee toiling all night and they caught nothing. But you know, friends, there's a lesson to be learnt in these things. Peter was obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ because, friends, he said unto them, have ye any meat? And they said no in verse 5. Now, friends, what did the Lord say unto them fishermen? He's saying it to you this night, friends. He's saying it to you this night, poor sinner. Cast the net on the right side of the boat and thou shalt find. Now, where are you casting your net tonight? Where are you looking for salvation? Are you looking to the church? Are you looking to the members of the church? Are you looking to the pastor? Are you looking to the deacons? There's no sustenance, friends, in looking to those sources. There's no strength, my friends, going down to Egypt for help. Now, when you and I lean on an arm of flesh, normally the Lord removes that prop sooner or later. Every prop, from first to last, the Lord will remove. Now, friends, when I mean He's going to remove it, I don't mean to say that the person you have been leaning on is necessarily going to be taken out of this world. The Lord brings a circumstance into your life. Excuse me. The Lord brings a circumstance into your life, and that prop is mysteriously removed. You will still have conversation with Him. But friends, the Lord removes the prop, because there is a tendency with you and I to lean upon man rather than lean upon God. For example, you and I this night might be in a great trial, and we might say within our breath, I wonder what Mr. So-and-so would say about this certain affliction. I wonder what Mr. So-and-so would do in this certain trial that I am in. Now, what does the Lord say, friends? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. Now, friends, what about the burdens that you have this night? It might be the burden of believers' baptism, and I hope it is. You know, friends, I hope the Lord has laid baptism upon your heart that you have no rest until you come forth. You know, friends, it is the way the Master trod. It is Jesus Christ who walked down to the Jordan. Now, the ordinance of believers' baptism is not something that I have invented or any other minister have invented. Jesus Christ, friends, gave the institution of believers' baptism to His dear disciples. And friends, He says plainly to you and I this night, if ye love Me, not them, not the church, if ye love Me, keep My commandments. And friends, that is the way the Master trod. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came down to be baptized, friends, it signified the death and the resurrection of the Son of God. We are buried with Him in baptism. And friends, to be baptized and follow the Master, it's a blessed pathway. It's a glorious pathway. It's the way Jesus would have us walk. And friends, the Lord Jesus, all these disciples, friends, who were by the Sea of Galilee had been baptized. Baptized by the Spirit. Baptized by immersion. And now, my friends, they were waiting by the Sea of Galilee. The Lord Jesus appeared three times after his resurrection. And friends, He's now appearing unto His disciples again. After these things. Now, what things are we speaking about? The things of Calvary. After Jesus had suffered. After He had been... Oh, what a favour this night. What a mercy that we don't stay at the cross. Oh, friends, I am thankful this night that we worship a risen and exalted and glorified Redeemer. My friends, what hope would there be for those who are coming to their journey's end if we stayed at the cross? Blessed cross. But friends, we don't stay at the cross. Friends, He is not here, but He is risen. We worship this night a risen and exalted Saviour. Behold, a scene of matchless grace. Friends, He's risen. And this is the one that we worship this night. The one that has gone before us. The one that nailed our sins to the accursed tree. Friends, we are not immune from sin. Friends, we do not believe in progressive sanctification. Friends, you know that. You that have been travelling in this way over many years. There is no such thing as progressive sanctification. We sadly feel the fall, don't we? Friends, we have corrupt natures. We have weak natures. Perhaps today He'll deign to bless us. Perhaps tomorrow he'll make us feel the power of sin. Why does the Lord lead us into these pathways? Why, friends, are we brought onto the mountaintop? And Lord, we say with Peter, it is good for us to be here. And then the Lord leads us into the wilderness. And friends, the devil roars in our ears. And we wonder how we will be at our final end. You wonder this night how it will be with you when you come to the place where our dear brother is this evening. Friends, I will say this, that you that have followed the Lord Jesus, you that have received those tokens by the way, he will be there when you come to the Jordan. You know, friends, even this afternoon, although the dear man was unconscious, he was so calm and peaceful. And friends, the matron said he wasn't suffering anything. You know, really, he was sleeping, waiting for the Lord to take him. And friends, even this afternoon, you know, it would have been a mercy if the Lord had have taken him to glory. But friends, our time is always ready. And what we may feel might not be the purpose of God. But friends, I do feel this now. It's a wonderful confirmation to me of each dear soul that has been born again by the Spirit. They endure to the end. And Fred, God honours that faith. And when they come to their final end, you know, he sends the angels to take them into heaven. You know, friends, our dear brother doesn't want to get better. He only said to some friends last night, I have been praying to the Lord Jesus to take me to himself. Friends, he has repented. He has been given forgiveness. He's been to the cross of Calvary. He's seen a precious Jesus. And friends, if you had to ask him this night if he was conscious, he would say, no glory to me, my dear friend. Put the glory on Jesus' head. It's like one of our sister's friends who died. What did she say? I don't want you to see anything about me at the funeral. Tell them I was a great sinner, but I had an even greater Saviour. That puts the crown on the Saviour's head. That's why dear William Gadsby could pen that hymn. Immortal honours rest on Jesus' head. My God, my portion and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction and despair. Friends, he is the only hope this night for this troubled world of ours. He's my only hope, friends, for life and for death. I believe he is the only hope for you, for this life and for death. My friends, look at Simon Peter. He had denied the Lord with oaths and curses. He said, I never knew the man. And friends, the Lord now is about to commission the dear man. What was he going to do with Simon Peter? It was going to make him an instrument, friends, in the church of God. But it was after they had dined, have you noticed, that the Lord turned to Simon Peter. The Lord fed them first, my friends. The Lord blesses his people before he puts them in the trials. The Lord does not put a child of God in the trials before he prepares it. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days thy strength shall be. After they had dined, the Lord turned to who? Simon Peter, the one that had denied him. And friends, he called him by his right name, Simon, son of Jonas. Have you ever noticed what the Lord calls his equal? Son of man. That's our title this night, isn't it? Son of man. I have set thee as a watchman to the house of Israel. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? What a question, friends. What a question did the Lord put to this servant of God? You know, friends, it cut right across his family. And it does the gospel. The Lord said unto Simon, lovest thou me more than these? That meant, my friends, did Peter love his dear Lord more than his family? More than his business, more than his natural food, more than his children. Friends, if I do not love the children of God more than all these things, and that's what the Lord said to Simon. And you know, friends, Peter said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And friends, on the third occasion, he was getting to the end with Peter. And then, friends, the Lord said unto him, well, feed the sheep, Peter. And friends, how did Peter feed the sheep on the day of Pentecost? It was Peter, friends, who was raised up for the day of Pentecost. And there he stood up and gave that Christ-exalting sermon. You know, friends, Jesus said this on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What a prayer, isn't it? "Father, forgive them, those that had nailed the Son of God to the accursed tree. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Then we come to the day of Pentecost. And what did Peter say? He said, "You have taken him by wicked hands, and you have nailed him to the tree." Now, friends, that caused a reaction in the hearts of his ears. They were pierced, they were pricked. And they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved?" And what did Peter say unto them? He said, "Repent and be converted and baptized." That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has said unto you, my brethren. He has said, "Repent and be converted." And friends, the Lord said unto Simon, "I have prayed for thee, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." How could Peter strengthen the brethren when he had denied him 3 times? "My grace is sufficient for thee, Peter." It was Peter's God, friends, that went before him. It's my God this night that has gone before me. My friends, it's the Lord who goes before us in our life. You know, everything's been ordered this day. The very hair of our head are all numbered. Have you ever noticed? Have you ever considered it? The providence of God. Have you tried to separate providence from grace? Friend, you can't. It's an impossibility to separate providence from grace. I was only speaking tonight, friends, as we drove up to the house of God. You cannot separate providence and grace. Friends, his decree, who formed the earth, fixed my first and second birth. Parents, native, time and place, all appointed were by him. Friends, all your life through, the very hairs of my head this night are all numbered. My Father in heaven knows exactly what we stand in need of this night. My friends, he knows. And you know what he has said to his children? He said, "Ye goeth before you." He goeth before you. Now if the Lord is going before us, friends, what can harm us if God is on our side? If we have the whole Godhead behind us? The Father, my friends, he chose us in a past eternity. The Son went to Calvary and redeemed us. The Holy Spirit, at the appointed time, quickened us by his almighty grace. Friends, he might have said something like this, "Thou art the man, come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. Arise, the Master calleth for thee." And friends, we have had to follow the Lord through thick and thin. We are not following, my friends, a body of men. We are not following the tradition of men. We are following the meek and lowly Jesus. And Jesus has said, "Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Friends, that's why Jesus Christ is precious to those who have followed him. That's why the Lord creates the appetite within our breath this night. "Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." Are you thirsting this night after the Lamb? Are you thirsting this night after Jesus? Do you want to know whether Jesus died for you? Friend, pray to the Lord, he will answer. The time of love will come when we shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but he shall say for me. And the Lord's going to say, "Come and dine, for all things are now ready." And friends, that's exactly what the Lord did by the Sea of Galilee. He prepared the fish, he prepared the bread. And while they were on the Sea of Life, the Lord was standing by on the seashore. And he said, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat." You know, Peter said this. He said, "Master, we have toiled all night and we have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." That's obedience, friends. Peter was obedient to his Lord. He said, "Lord, at thy word I will let down the net." And have you noticed the net wasn't broken? There was only one net, friends. There was only one net, and it was not broken. Peter dragged to land 153 fishes, and for all that, the net was not broken. And Jesus, friends, said unto those dear disciples, come and dine. Oh, friends, there's no greater blessing this side of the grave than to feast on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what it is to feast on the Lord? It's when he breaks your heart, friends. When you feel broken down at his feet. When you are unable to say, Lord, make me submissive as we go, gladly leaving all below. Only thou our leader be. As he like Peter this now. You know, Peter was looking round, friends, at the church. Peter was looking round at John, the beloved disciple of the Lord, who lay on the Lord Jesus' bosom. And he said, Lord, what will this man do? Have you ever noticed the Lord never argues with his people? The Lord didn't go into any specific details, friends. He said, Peter, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And friends, the Lord showed Peter what death he should die. He said, when thou wast young, thou wentest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, another shall guide thee, signifying what death he should die. And after he had said this, he spoke two words unto Peter. Follow me. And friends, Peter had those words all through his life. Let me take you to that occasion in the Acts of the Apostles when Peter was in the prison house. Why was Peter in the prison house? For preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Why was he cast in the prison house? Because, friends, he was faithful to his God. And we read this, friends. There came angels from heaven and they unleashed Simon Peter. What did they say unto Peter? Bind on thy sandals, cast thy garments about thee, and follow me. And he did so, friend. And he went to the house of a young damsel whose name was Rhoda. And he knocked at the door, you know. And she came to the door and she said, it is his spirit. But Peter continued knocking. And friend, he went into the brethren. Oh, friends, the Lord loved Peter. He wouldn't let him go. You know, friends, all our sins, all our temptations of the devil will never prevent the Lord from taking us home to glory. Not all the power of hell will ever destroy a child of God. Do you know that? Not all your sins this night, which, my friends, at times comes like mountains before you. You know, sometimes the Lord says, thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God has led thee. And the Lord brings to our past all our sins that we have committed, friends. And friends are like mountains before him. Oh, there's only one thing that can bring that mountain down, you know. And what is it? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth me from all sin. I've no hope this night apart from the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Christ, how sweet it sounds, to cleanse and heal the sinner's wounds, the streams thereof are rich and free, and say my soul, why not for thee? And the Lord Jesus said, come and dine, for all things are now ready. And have you noticed that none of the disciples questioned the Lord? They knew it was the Lord. Where the word of a king is, there is power, friends. There's no substitute for the power of God in our lives. Friends, what's going to bring a blessed revival to the churches? It's going to be the power of Almighty God. We are being shown, friends, daily, that we cannot convert one sinner to Christ, that we cannot do it, friends. And friends, we try and do it in our own strength. But friends, the Lord shows us, line upon line, precept upon precept, I will work, and who shall let it? Which really means I will work and who shall stop it? Because, my friends, when the Lord puts forth his power in the hearts of those that are gathering, the Lord works mightily in them. You know, my friends, the wind blows where it listeth, and thou cannot hear the sound thereof. so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Yes, my friend, born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? To be born of the Spirit of God. Now, you know, the only person who was born with the new birth was John the Baptist. He was. My friend, he was born in the Spirit, was John. Because we read the babe leapt in his mother's womb. He came forth in the Spirit like the Lord Jesus himself. But John the Baptist was a sinner, friends. Oh, friends, he was a sinner, was John the Baptist. Because we read of John being in the prison house. John had been at the Jordan and seen the Lamb of God. Doesn't it show we change in our feelings? He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The next moment he's in the prison house. What did he say? Art thou he, or do we look for another? Now we read this of the Lord Jesus. He healed many people of their infirmities in that hour. Then he sent two of his disciples. Go and tell John again the things that I do. What are the things that Jesus does? The blind receive their sight. The deaf have their ears unstopped. And the poor of the gospel preached unto them. And blessed. You know, the word blessed means happy. And blessed and happy is he that is not offended in me. Oh, if you're not offended in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a precious jewel. My friends, we read in the Word of God of many of the disciples that walked no more with him. They were offended at the words of Jesus. But friends, listen to what he said to John. Go again and tell John the things that I do. Not the things that you do, John. The things that I do. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And you know, friends, what did the Lord say after that? About John. What went ye out into the wilderness to see? That's what he spoke. A reed shaken by the wind. But what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A man clothed in purple raiment. This is he, my friends, who was spoken of in the prophets. Behold, I send my messenger to prepare the way. That's what the Lord did with John. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. Blessed man, if they're sent by God. Oh, friends, that's what we need. We need more men sent by God. We need the Lord to take men the backside of his desert. And reveal a precious Jesus unto them. And send them forth with good tidings to the people. Oh, the beautiful are the feet of those who bring good tidings to the people. You know, friends, there has to be both sides of it. You know, Isaiah said this. Comfort ye who? The world? Those who are against the Lord Jesus? Those who rebel against the Lord Jesus? No. Comfort ye my people. Tell them that their warfare is accomplished, that they have received of the Lord's hand double for all their transgressions. What was the last words that Jesus cried before he bowed his head upon the cross? It is finished. There's your hope, sinner, this night, in the finished work of the Lamb. It is finished. And he gave up his, he bowed his head and gave up in the ghost. Though once he bowed his feeble head, loaded with sins and agonies, now on the throne of his command, his legs like marble pillars stand. And he says to those who seek him with all their sin, with all the things that the enemy might be pointing to, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden. Who does the Lord take to glory? Well, it tells me in the Word of God that publicans and harlots enter into the kingdom of God before the self-righteous. Come and dine. Come and dine. That's what the Lord says to sinners. Come unto me. Oh, my friends, our men have put the barriers up. You know, Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me with all your sin. That's the blessed him, isn't it? Just as I am, without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come unto me. Come unto me this night, poor sinner. Lay thy head upon my bosom, and I will give thee rest. Friends, this is for sinners. The gospel is good tidings for sinners who realize this night that they cannot find salvation through any forms of godliness that they might have invented themselves. They cannot find happiness in the things of the world. They cannot find happiness in the things, my friends, apart from Jesus. You know, for it's a precious Jesus revealed in your heart. And this people, they are going to stand at the end of time. They are being chosen, friends. They have been chosen in eternity past. Now, friends, who are the characters this night who are going to dine off Jesus' table? They are those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Have you ever thought of that character, Manasseh? Would you have ever saved Manasseh had you been God? Let's look at Manasseh before we close this night. Manasseh was a wicked king. He made the streets of Jerusalem run with blood. He sacrificed his children unto idols. He caused his children to pass through the fire. And in his old age, the Lord humbled Manasseh. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due course. Manasseh found mercy, friends, in his old age. You oft-times sing it. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And you sing this night, and there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away. Manasseh found mercy, friends. The dying thief found mercy in the last hour of his life. He was one that dined off the fat of the lamb. He was one that Jesus had died for. Jesus was weak, friends. His very manhood, he was weak. He was coming to the end of his life. And there on the cross of Calvary, there was a poor thief. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What did Jesus say to the dying thief? This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Does that prove he was very God and very man? Because Jesus went in the tomb for 3 days. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Friend, it was the manhood that went in the tomb. God was in heaven. Oh, it's a wonderful thought. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And he took him into heaven, friend, that day. That day. Shall come to pass in that day, it's a certain day, you see, when the fountain shall be opened for sin and for unclean. Are you not thankful the Lord's brought you and sought you? Are you not thankful this night the Lord saw you wandering in the ways of the world? He saw you trying to experience happiness from all the things of this world. That's where the Lord found me. He found me wandering far from God. The Lord finds his sheep, then. My sheep, hear my voice. They know me and they follow me. How can you get away from those words this night? Follow me. They know me and they follow me. The sheep of Christ, friends, they follow the Lamb. That's a paradox, isn't it? The lambs follow the sheep, don't they, naturally? But the sheep of Christ follow the Lamb of God. Oh, they follow the Lamb of God. They ask the Lord for direction and instruction. They won't move until the Lord speaks, and then they go. When the Lord gives them direction, they move, friends. My sheep hear my voice. Now you might say this night that you were waiting for a word. Well, it's here, friends. Follow. They follow the Lamb of God. They ask the Lord for direction and instruction. They won't move until the Lord speaks, and then they go. When the Lord gives them direction, they move, friends. My sheep hear my voice. Now you might say this night that you were waiting for a word. Well, it's here, friends. Follow me. Let not conscience make you linger, nor a fitness fondly dream. All the fitness Jesus requires is to feel your need of it. You've got a need, my friends, of Jesus this night. You follow the Lamb. This he gives you. It is the Holy Spirit's rising beam. And the Lord said unto Peter, what is that for thee? Follow thou me. That's how the Lord begins his work in his children's heart. You know, my friends, you can't tell me in the Word of God where David was shaped or the house. David was a shepherd boy. David wasn't shaken over hell in the early beginnings of his career. The Apostle Paul was. He was shaken over hell, friends, in a moment. But David wasn't. David was on the hills of Bethlehem, friends, tending to his father's sheep. He had his trials later on, did David? When do you think David was convicted of sin? Have you ever thought about it? In the 51st Psalm, after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And David wasn't a novice in the things of God then. David had been chosen apostle eternity. The Lord had sent Samuel to the house of Jesse and said, "Arise and anoint him, for this is he." And David went forth with a sling, my friend, in the strength of the Lord. It was after the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies. And David was sat on the housetop with his feet up. And he spied a beautiful woman. And friends, it's one of the greatest sins, isn't it, that you and I possess? Her craft and spleen shall make them feel, and make them like a drunkard reel. Do you know what it is, my friends, to be tempted like that? Her nature's serpentine indeed.